I found Born on a sunny gunmetal day when the giant bear Mord came roving near our home. To me, Born was just salvage at first. I didn't know what Born would mean to us. I couldn't know that he would change everything. Born was not much to look at that first time, dark purple and about the size of my fist, clinging to Mord's fur like a half-closed stranded sea anemone. I found him only because, beacon-like, he strobed emerald green across the purple every half minute or so. Come close, I could smell the brine rising in a wave, and for a moment there was no ruined city around me, no search for food and water, no roving gangs and escaped altered creatures of unknown origin or intent. Instead, for a dangerous moment, this thing I'd found was from the tidal pools of my youth, before I'd come to the city. I could smell the pressed flower twist of the salt and feel the wind, knew the chill of the water rippling over my feet, the honey warmth of the sand engulfing my feet as I looked toward the horizon and the white sails of ships that told of visitors from beyond our island, if ever I had lived on an island, if that had ever been true.
Born, as we heard in the excerpt there, reminds Rachel of the island nation of her birth, which was lost to the rising seas of climate change. Now, this is the fascinating part for me. Very few of us encounter something so new, which makes us pause and decide, should I walk away or should I engage with this thing? What makes dystopian fiction or science fiction the perfect genre for dramatizing this kind of encounter?
Part of it is the particular distance of this book, which is using fantasy and fabulous elements in a science fiction way. So you have also a giant flying bear in the city. You have elements that could have come out of, I guess, manga or anime. And so I had a lot of fun with that juxtaposed with this very personal situation with someone who has to decide whether they're willing to trust again, whether they're willing to put themselves out there and take a risk, more or less. And in this particular case, especially after Bourne begins to talk, she doesn't have it within her to give him up for parts. I mean, usually when you find a creature like this in the city, you render it down for parts for whatever it's useful for. And I think that one thing this does is it lays bare the starkness of the decisions that some of us today have to make in terms of whether we're going to continue to be hopeful and good people under very strenuous and difficult circumstances.
And every time we do decide to engage, that of course implies a bit of risk.
Yes, absolutely. And she does take a huge risk. And I don't want to give away too much about the book, but there's something in her that keeps allowing her to make those risks that I think is actually very human and important.
Back at Rachel's cavern, Rachel shows her boyfriend Wick this creature, and she asks Wick not to use it as the raw material for the drugs he sells. Wick sells tiny creatures that people swallow or put in their ear that release powerful memories. These could be other people's memories of happier times, the user's forgotten thoughts and experiences, or visions that take the user away from the ugliness that surrounds them. This reminds me of Rachel's longing for her island home that no longer exists. So we have this theme of nostalgia, a longing for things that existed or maybe didn't exist, but people want to remember anyhow. What fascinates you about the things we long for or the things we think we're longing for?
There is an issue with dystopias that trade in that too much, which is to say the foreground of the book is about that, and about things that have been lost that ultimately, if you really look at them, are not that important. So, for example, if you gave certain dystopias to a displaced person now who's been displaced by climate change, they might go, oh, that's a really nice utopia. And then you know you've kind of failed. But it is true that there are genuine things like where you came from that are important, and that you hold on to them because if they're lost, your memory is the only record of them in some sense. And so, she's lost her parents. They no longer have that kind of memory palace, so to speak. It's something that tells her that because there was a better time in the past, there may be a better time in the future. And it's her heritage. It's where she came from. And so I thought that was very important to emphasize. Even as she has to deal with all this stuff to just to survive in the city, as a scavenger in a kind of barter trade economy with all these enemies gathered out there. And, you know, I think that hope itself can be kind of commodified in the wrong way in some science fiction, because it has to be hope that's actually realistic. If it's not, it's kind of a nostalgia that's kind of a bad kind of nostalgia, right? It's something that isn't real. And so I wanted this book to be real.
You mentioned heritage. Talk a little bit more about the importance of heritage in the context of this story or in life.
Well, you know, it's funny because I actually grew up on an island. And so to some degree, every time that you write a book, there's an element of your imagination that you bring to it and a translation of your own past. And so, you know, I have memories that are pretty commensurate to some of Rachel's memories in the book. And that lends a resonance. It's almost like in the book when her memories kind of add to her character, it kind of adds to the texture of a novel when you can bring that in a useful way, when you can bring it in an organic way. And I've spent 20, 30 years trying to figure out how do I write about that experience of living on an island overseas when I was a kid. And I finally guess I have the distance that I found a way to do it. In the right context.
And remind us of the island where you grew up.
I grew up in Fiji. My parents were in the Peace Corps.
The archetypal South Pacific paradise.
It was. It was also a volcanic island, so believe it or not, there were winters high up in the mountains. It was a great place.
What message do you want the general reader to take away from this book, Born?
Sometimes dystopias kind of indicate that we're going to all fall into chaos and militias and whatnot, but the truth of it is much more complex in situations where there's no rule of law. There are people who still do good deeds. There are people who realize that it's more important to do good deeds in a situation where no one expects you to, and that ultimately, just like in life now, any situation we find ourselves in, even with climate change, if it becomes catastrophic, we will find that as well. That's where the hope lies.
Jeff Vandermeer is the author of several novels, most recently Born. At WNIJ.org, you can see a video of him reading another excerpt from this book. Thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.